welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast where each week, three of us read up on a topic, then discuss it from geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, I am your host, Ryan Mossbarger, and we will be discussing Critical Role and collaborative storytelling. I'm joined by two people, each of whom has selected a domain they think connects to our topic and theme this week. They are...
And then you pick whichever order you want us to go in.
Oh.
It'll be the same order that we go in the domains as well.
I guess, Pat, you go first.
Hi, I'm Pat Bram. Y'all know me, I've been on this for a while, but this is my first time recording with Jonavi, who is our next guest. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I am Jonavi. I have now been on a couple of these episodes, and I'm happy to now be a regular member of Common Geeking Program.
Hell yeah.
Woot.
This is also, yeah, Ryan, this is your first episode hosting, so congrats.
Yeah.
Taking your big boy steps.
Big boy pants on right now.
Yeah.
So you guys introduced yourself, but did you guys say what your domains were?
No, I did not. That's my bad. I am representing the community of Rooster Teeth, and I'm going to talk a little bit about their different storytelling motifs and series, and it's pretty good.
Will be talking about Hello from the Magic Tavern, which is an improv comedy podcast thingamaboob.
All right. So we're going to start by summarizing our topic and domains before we openly discuss. Finally, we will close with a competitive rating section to determine who best contributed and whether today's topic was enjoyable. Hopefully it's enjoyable. Start a new stopwatch, I guess.
Feel free. Like, that was a pretty quick intro, which just means we have more time to get to stuff later. But you don't necessarily have to stick to the script every time.
Right. Just want to get to the... Gotta find my own voice.
Gotta get to the... Yeah.
Gotta get it.
Yeah.
Gotta go fast.
I mean, if you want to.
Gotta go fast.
If you want to stick to the script, that's fine, too. I'm just, like, saying, it's not, like, a rigid thing. We like to have fun with it. We're all friends.
Do you want to redo it, or should we?
No, it's good.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you do, like, you. Yeah, you're in charge.
This is your episode. I'm just telling you all the things that I have learned over the past year or whatever that we've been on this.
But you're my never-ending font of knowledge, Pat.
Yes,
you're my.
I'm your bag of holding of information.
You hold all of my info.
He's a patty cake of knowledge.
He's a patty cake.
Jesus Christ.
So let's get started in this summary. But actually, before we summarize, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Critical Role subreddit. They actually helped me put together the homework I gave to you guys a few weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
So I reached out to some people on subreddit. And after getting yelled at by somebody for them thinking I put the wrong spoiler tag on it, I ended up being right, but it was a whole thing for about 15 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And they actually gave me a bunch of really good moments. I kind of phrased as like either your favorite moments or the moments you felt that best kind of demonstrated like collaborative storytelling in the Critical Role theme.
Cool.
So they came back with me a bunch of stuff, and I think I used almost everything that people talked about. There's a lot of overlap because there's a lot of like really cool scenes that people talk about in general. But so I just want to give them a quick shout out and thank you to everybody that gave me a couple things to roll with, kind of helped me out, make the homework for you guys. So just again, quick thank
you. Did you delete this thread?
No.
Okay. Well, you've just given me an ability to find your Reddit username. So thanks, babe.
That's fine. I would have given it to you anyway. It's nothing crazy. It's not like my Twitch username. My Twitch username is highly secretive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's really dumb. But yeah, so I think just to get into Critical Role, there's a stream that was started in, I think, mid-2015, where a bunch of nerdy-ass voice actors sit around and play Dungeons & Dragons. It's GN'd by Matt Merce, otherwise known as the voice of McCree from Overwatch. And it's played by a bevy of well-known voice actors from video games, animation, and some occasionally the big screen, and there's been a few things. It was streamed a few years ago on Geek & Sundry Twitch. It started streaming a few years ago on Geek & Sundry, the Twitch channel, and immediately became one of the more popular shows on the stream. Various guest stars appeared on the show, including Felicia Day, Joe Manganiello of various part things where he takes off his shirt, like True Blood, and I want to say Magic Mike. I just gave a quick Google. Yeah, but evidently he's a super big D&D guy, which is very surprising. He's also married to Sofia Vergara, so it really is a definition of a man that can have it all. And John Heater of Napoleon Dynamite fame. He actually was on the show for a few episodes. The show is easily the most popular D&D real play in pretty much any format, with most of their uploaded videos, on YouTube at least, in excess of 1 million views. Some of their newer season, like the Campaign 2, some of them have like 2.2, 2.3.
That's crazy.
Pretty crazy, considering that each episode is somewhere between the length of 3 and 4 hours.
I fucking can't do it, man. I tried.
It's much more manageable as a podcast.
Yeah, but I like put it on in the background at work today, trying to get through the first episode of the second campaign, and I just like, yeah. I need to do it in chunks, I think.
It's definitely something that can take a little bit of doing to get into the mood of like following through with it.
I feel like it'd be real good if you were like a cross-country trucker or something, and you just wanted to hear all of your lovely voice actor D&D friends.
Grog's voice, so good.
I have a quick request. Before I go to sleep, can I try and find Pike and see if she will teach me the alphabet before my fox's cunning wears off
in one night?
Yeah, funny you say that. When I played a game called Elite Dangerous, that was basically what I was, a space long-term trucker or whatever. And I would have Critical Role on my left panel and then just playing the game on the other one, because a lot of it's just like traveling and very like little activities, so it can be kind of boring.
Sure.
So that's how I digested a lot of it. And there was a time when my girlfriend was at basic training, so I didn't have a whole lot to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what I that was most evenings. Getting back into the thing. 1 million views. Their show is often attributed at least in part to D&D's recent upsurge in popularity. And it's kind of easy to see why. They're probably the best represent. They're one of the best. I don't want to say the best, but probably one of the better representations of what a D&D game can be.
She comes to the door, already groggy, no pun intended. Sorry about that.
And central to that is kind of this kind of theory of collaborative storytelling. It's not always present in D&D games, but good D&D games, it's always present, where the DM kind of gives the reins of the story up to the players and allows them to kind of change the narrative and bend things to what they see fit.
You open your door and you see Grog standing there looking a little sheepish.
Grog, what's wrong?
Yeah, look, I had trouble sleeping, and giant, but I can't read it.
It can be really difficult for the DM, but it actually makes for a really interesting story, because it's not just one person creating a story. It is, you know, in the case of Critical Role, it's like 8 people making a story.
Mm-hmm.
So things have a lot of twists and turns, and there's competing forces. And sometimes it kind of more resembles what would happen in real life, because dumb things happen. You know, your hero can die. You can just end up doing something dumb and it ruining the whole story, at least from the perspective of the person that wrote that story. But it makes it more interesting in the terms of somebody that's viewing it. And I think another way that it's kind of really representative of that is all the players are really invested in their characters. And Matt Mercer, the DM, creates an open-ended story that he kind of gives them finger holes in the story where they can actually start like clawing at it and making it their own, which I think is really impressive. I think I'm a huge D&D nerd, and my favorite aspect is creating a story with your friends. And it's one of the hardest things to explain to somebody that hasn't played D&D. They kind of think it's, oh, it's you versus the DM, or it's you versus like a goal, like you're just fighting, or it's just kind of really nerd, or it's just you're not doing much of anything. You're reading off a book. But it's really about just kind of sitting down, having fun, and making a story with your friends. And I think Critical Role is like super representative of that. And it's my basic summary. But that was my kind of summary of the show. But the show in general. But I think one of the more important things about the show is kind of the story that they kind of weave together. And it starts out pretty basic. It's basically them trying to find a lost NPC in like what turns out to be an underdark dungeon. And it kind of morphs from there, and you really start to kind of care for these characters, and the characters they create that they kind of created for themselves are really interesting. Like you mentioned Grog as being like a really cool character earlier. Like, I feel like he's probably he's the easiest character to latch on to, just because he's the most, like, he has no drama, he doesn't have anything kind of crazy going on with him, he's just
happy-go-lucky kind of bash-your-face-in dude.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the easy, like, that's why he's so great, and all the things he says are funny, or most of the things he says are funny, and, like, he has a lot of range in some of the things he does, but it's always a lot of fun. But if you're not into that sort of thing, that kind of, like, light humor, they also have other characters that are, like, more serious and taciturn, like Percy, who is, you know, every emo middle schooler's, like, wet dream.
And he looks the part, like, in real life with his hair.
I mean,
like,
I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah. You are correct.
Yeah.
Taliesin Jaffe's Twitter handle is Executive Goth, and he fully lives the goth lifestyle. Like,
it's his
I dig it, man.
Unabashedly.
It's like his brand.
But I really like, what's the dude? Oh, man. I can't remember the character's name, but he's like a bard, I think.
Oh, Scanlan.
Scanlan. Yeah, I love his character just because, like, the way his voice actor talks always sounds like he's up to something mischievous. And that plays well with, like, the fact that a bard is so charismatic that you don't know if he's doing something nefarious or not.
Scanlan's really good, too. And the guy that plays him is also extremely creative. He actually just won an Emmy recently for voiceover direction. But yeah, they're all like super kind of creative people, and they really get into the part of what they're doing. And it's really enjoyable to watch.
Are they all voice actors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, it's really nice that they have like their own set voices of their characters, and then they have their voices to tell you when they're talking to the DM and when they're saying something as their character. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot easier.
For As sure. a DM, it's one of the hardest things to enforce. Nobody wants to do it.
But it makes it easy when your friends are all voice actors. And you are a voice actor yourself. You know, his like monster voices are very good and very fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty good for the summary.
That's pretty good. But also, we could talk a little bit more about like some of the funny moments, I guess. The one that stuck out to me when you had us watch all those clips was when I think Scanlan was meeting the party, or Scanlan's voice actor person was meeting the party. He had a robot with him, and in order
that was a little weird thing. So Scanlan leaves, quote unquote, the party, and then his replacement, Tarion Darrington, or whatever.
So so Pike gives his robot servant a task to draw all of the members of the party so that he can have them as flashcards. But the DM takes this and rolls with it and says, and decides that it's going to be very literal, and this robot is then going to sketch them one by one until he's done. He's not going to wait for them to wake up in the morning. He's going to sketch them while they're asleep so that they all have these candid photos. Some of them are having sex at the time. Like, it's just this wild, funny, like, that's part of what makes D&D so fun, is the DM can decide he's like a genie, kind of. Like, you have to be very specific with your phrasing or else he's going to make it fun. And that's what, like, I really enjoy.
Ooh, the horror. Or else it will be fun.
What you see before you is a very beautifully, realistically drawn image of a female half-elven druid and a male half-elven rogue paladin, both clutching bedsheets going...
I didn't realize he was going to draw them in their sleep. So let's just...
Yeah.
And that was... when I trolled Reddit, or the subreddit, for kind of examples of collaborative storytelling, that was one that came up, I think, the most...
That's really
like
good.
A super funny moment, and also like Matt is the character of Dodie in that, but everybody else is kind of writing out what's happening. Yeah. They all have agency in what's going on.
So many more questions than answers.
Because they're describing what they're doing as the robot is sketching them, and they're making it fun. Like, Grog's character, the voice actor, says he's, like, sprawling out and posing, pulls the covers a little bit down and exposes, like, his rugged physique. And then other ones are, like, pulling it up higher so all you can see is their face because they're embarrassed. And it's really cool to, like, see them have that agency. And then the other example was the cannonball story that stood out to me. And, like, seeing how they could use all their powers in this cannonball competition to try to one-up each other. It was very interesting, and especially when they brought in real world chemistry as a way to like work in the game, with Percy's character grabbing a bunch of raw sodium to jump in this pool with and have it make a chemical reaction and explode. Matt takes that and applies damage based on the explosion, because like that's what DMs do. If you're going to be stupid, he's going to punish you a little bit, but at least it's all for the fun of it.
I mean I guess that's one of the things that's like most interesting about D&D and then other kinds of role-playing games, is that you can be inspired by the real world just enough, but it doesn't have to limit you too much within the actual like world of doing stuff. So I think that's a cool kind of like middle ground you get to traipse.
For sure.
Yeah.
I agree. 100%.
All right. That's probably good.
I think that covers the summary pretty well.
I think so too.
Let's move on to the domains, where our representatives get to summarize what they have brought to our table.
All right, so since I went first in the introductions. I will go first now. Hi, this is Pat again. I am bringing Rooster Teeth to this discussion mostly because I listen to a lot of their podcasts and I am a big Rooster Teeth fan. The thing that I like about Rooster Teeth and how I think it contributes to Critical Role is that all of the members of Rooster Teeth, which is this giant company, they make a lot of podcasts, they make a lot of web series. Their most notable one is Red versus Blue, and they have a bunch of other tinier ones. The thing I like about them is that even though they have set writers for a lot of their content, you can tell that in a lot of their videos, they're goofing off, they're having a good time with each other, and each person is contributing something to the narrative. So, for example, in Red versus Blue, this web series was started using machinima, which is a way to take video games and turn them into movies. They started as a machinima in Halo, which is a video game that is near and dear to my heart. And essentially it was split into two teams. You had the red team and the blue team, and they were locked in eternal conflict in this one lone canyon with a base on either end. And they would just continually try to capture each other's flags. But then during this, there would be small little snippets of each character identified by a very different voice than the actual, like, people who were acting them would have. Like, Griff is this, hey, I'm tough and cool and you should listen to me because I'm in charge. Oh, no, it's Sarge, my bad. Sarge is like that. And then Griff is like this fucking nasally piece of shit who actually sounds a lot like Jeff, but I guess whatever.
Simmons will probably tell you that statistically, some of us will probably die.
All of us.
All of us will probably die. But that's not what's important. Let me ask you two a question.
You can really hear all of their personalities, though, come through their characters. Like, Jeff complains about fucking everything all the time, and so does Griff. And
then, just calling him out right now.
He does.
My goodness.
Like, he's the biggest crybaby in Rooster Teeth, and I love it. Like, I relate to it, but it comes through with his character. But the entire thing is also collaborative, not only with itself, between all the characters and everything, but it's also collaborative with the entire narrative of Halo itself. They use a lot of the elements of the game, like the alien races and all the different maps, as a way to further their own story, which I think is really cool. But the biggest thing that happens in Red versus Blue, I guess, is that they eventually find out that this conflict is actually, they think it's the war that's going on, but when they end up like actually talking to each other and doing a little bit more research, they find out that there's a larger conflict going on outside of this that they don't really understand. But 1 second. So between all of these things, there is kind of like a lot of RT life podcasts that they do, which I like. What the fuck? I just wanted this to mute.
Are you okay, Pat?
Yeah, something's just like making noise that I don't want to make noise right now. And I got it. Okay, sorry. So, a bunch of RT Life podcasts where you like start to learn all of the actual like characters, the people behind the characters, which is cool. And they start to like pull pranks on each other. And it's just like, it makes you feel like you're one of the gang, which I feel like is part of what makes Critical Role really cool, is you can start to really identify with the people and the characters, and you start to feel like you're invested in this friend group and you're part of the story itself. And that's why I pretty much wanted to bring Rooster Teeth. But at the same time, Rooster Teeth has, like, with the prank and whatever, all that stuff, they have these Let's Play videos, which I think is really cool. And one in particular is the Minecraft series, You're Dead, You're Dead. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when they're playing Minecraft, they, like, let each other respawn. Obviously, it's a video game. You don't want to, like, not have somebody come back to life after they accidentally die, because that's what people do when they're playing a video game. But they decided they were going to make a series where once you died, you were permadead. So they went through and, like, most of the characters died in the first episode, which was really fucking funny.
Of course,
and
that would happen.
Michael is the last one alive. He's like kind of the grumpy old dad of the group, and I identify real hard with him. He ends up being the last one alive, and they decide they're gonna make, like, completely reset the series by having him, like, grow old and fast forward time through like 80 years until he finally dies, and then he goes to hell.
Jesus,
go to hell, dad.
So he goes to hell and finds all of his friends, and he ends up finding his wife Lindsay, who's his wife in real life, but he finds her down in the in hell, and if they find out that she has a new boyfriend and stuff, and he just starts to like go crazy and freak out, and it's pretty funny. But they collaboratively tell the story there, because all they did to set this story up was like give each other their characters, and then they went out and decided to like further the world and do things, and it's pretty cool. Like, they do that a lot with their Let's Plays. They have a Minecraft series.
Where is Jeff?
Jeff is somewhere on the map. All right,
Let's
check
play.
It out.
Check.
Caleb.
Ooh, I
Let's Play!
That keeps going. It's on its like 400th episode right now, and they have a bunch of different continuity between their other various Let's Plays, like in GTA and stuff. And I think it's a really cool company. They're all best friends, and I really wish I could have been a part of it.
Yeah. That's the thing I do like about Rooster Teeth, especially with some of their Let's Plays. Like, even with Minecraft, when there's not really like an overarching story, they kind of create the drama. They kind of create the interesting tidbits that keep you coming back.
Yeah.
And it's all of them working together to do it. It's not just like one person being interesting and everybody else being in the background.
Exactly.
It's like, not just like collaborative storytelling is in the narrative. It's also very much like collaborative world building, which those two things kind of feed into each other a lot, because you can be like, oh man, I want to take my friend's cool idea and like help like integrate that better into this thing that we're building together. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have this recurring, I know I'm going way over time, but just like we'll edit a lot of it down.
Editor's note, I won't.
But they have this recurring thing called the Tower of Pimps.
All right, I've created the Tower of Pimps. Boosh. Everyone worship me.
Sun's going down.
All right, Ingots and Wool are...
in their Minecraft Let's Plays, where they'll find a challenge, any old challenge. One time...
Whoa, you made a gold...
Is that what you do
tower?
With my gold? You made a fucking gold tower?
Yeah, I'm stood upon the Tower of Pimps.
They made a wipeout course and like ran through it, and other times they'll just like have this weird thing where you have to launch yourself in a boat off of some railroad tracks, and you have to land and hit a target, and whoever wins that gets to build their Tower of Pimps one gold brick higher or whatever.
Kneel down, bitches.
I'm gonna beat the shit out of you.
And then they started actually doing it in real life too. They got a model of the Tower of Pimps and would pass it around based on who won something that week, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, real life time. mimicking video games.
Yeah. Rooster Teeth is pretty sick, so you should check them out if you haven't.
All right, well, thank you, cool. Pat.
Thank you. Sorry for going so over time.
I think I went over time too, so it's all cool. It just makes it harder for the editor.
You both went over time.
I don't know who's editing this one.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
It's me.
I'm going to look real quick just to make sure they're not going to be that mad at me.
I don't know. I feel like I gave the editor a hard time when I hosted, but I think a lot of that was just technical difficulties, so...
It's Colin. I don't give a shit.
Wow. You are a grumpy dad.
Only to Colin. He deserves it.
Screw all of you.
All right. Jonavi, how about let's move on to you and your domain.
Sure. So, I am repping Hello from the Magic Tavern. It is yet another podcast, which... I only recently began to listen to. I am a little new to the whole podcast thing. And so far, I've gotten about 12 episodes in, and I can tell you that the basic premise of Hello from the Magic Tavern is this dude, Arnie, just so happens to be carrying podcast equipment with him when he falls into a dimensional rift behind a Burger King and lands in the magical land of Foon. And not really having much else to do, and conveniently having podcast equipment with him, he decides to set up this podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern, to let the listeners of Earth know all about the magical land of Foon.
Because he's still just getting a little bit of Wi-Fi from the portal from the Burger King.
Wi-Fi.
Completely unrelated, but how do you spell Foon?
F-O-O-N.
F-O-O-N?
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
What were you thinking?
There's this really, really influential video from Counter-Strike Source of this guy named Foon just like bee-hopping all over these kids and then accusing him of hacking. So he made this other video to prove that he was actually like bee-hopping on his own, and his name is Foon.
Oh, okay.
So I was hoping it would be a reference.
Well, I'm not sure the timing of the thing that you're talking about, but Hello from the Magic Tavern, I think, actually started about the same time that Critical Role did in 2015. I believe in March of 2015 this came out, so that's kind of a neat little tidbit. Because even though Hello from the Magic Tavern is not people playing D&D, I think that there's still a good few, you know, mishmash elements of, like, fantasy lore and, like, things directly from D&D and, like, similar kinds of characters content. And tropes, it seems like, that
definitely.
They're just getting turned on their heads.
Well, it's fantasy, so it's like you kind of can't have zero things that are in common with Dungeons and Dragons, which is the biggest fantasy role-playing game ever.
Because you can't really create something in a genre without being in dialogue with that genre. Yeah, so
exactly.
Anyway.
This is starting a whole new genre. Yeah. We won't even get into that.
So anyway, the main-ish characters of Hello from the Magic Tavern are Arnie Niekamp, Chunt, who is a shapeshifter, who most of the time is a badger. Whatchamacallit, the fucking wizard whose name I will always ignore because it is really long.
Just call him the fucking wizard from now on.
Yeah,
That's just like Percy. Percival fucking whatever, he has three middle names and then Von Helsing or some bullshit.
Yeah, and he's continually trying to get people to go on this quest for him to defeat the Dark Lord. But really, Sauron. It seems like he's just hanging around this tavern. And is having a good old time.
I was really hoping you were going to do all of his name. I won't use his name, but I because evidently he is the wizard that shall not be named.
He who I am too lazy to name.
I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical lights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak, the dwarves know me as Zonin and Hookstanges, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmuinius Maestar. And trust me, friends, when I do say there are secret names that have such great power that I shall ne'er reveal them, lest I destroy all of my beloved food.
But his name is so good, it's so long.
Yeah, it is good and it is long, but...
That's what she said.
I'm no fun, but...
Literally, that is what she said.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess, but you can't say it's so good and so long and not have somebody say that, is all I'm saying.
Fair enough. You do you. This is not a censored podcast by any means.
Oh, fuck no.
Anyway.
Hell no.
Insert profanity here. Anyway. Yeah, so I think the main distinguishing factor of Hello from the Magic Tavern from, I guess, Critical Role is that it does seem to lean more improv than it does, like, this is a role-playing game. And although there is a good bit of overlap, like, when someone says something or creates information about the world, you say yes and you continue and you build off of that. You don't try and, like, backtrack or anything. Yeah. So that's a major... Different/similarity. And then I guess the other main thing is that because there is not really, this is trying to take the format of a news podcast where he's interviewing these, characters and guest characters about the world of Foon and the happenings in it. So it's not the same, I guess, format where the DM is trying to, like, make sure that something's always happening at any given time. Yeah.
There's nobody there enforcing plot.
Yeah, there's nobody there enforcing plot. So that both has its pluses and minuses. You do have some recurring instances of plot, but it seems to be more world-building focused than anything else, insofar as they're just not trying plot. To get some giggles out of Foon.
It's a lot of yes and, not a lot of, oh, but this.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what you gotta love about improv, man.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Improv
for days. I miss improv. I did that shit for like 2 years in high school.
I think I would like it. I don't know if I've ever actually done it.
It's pretty good, man. I would give it a shot if you got any like troops in your area. Just go sit in on a class or something.
It's also a good way to just kind of like learn not to censor yourself so much.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But you just get like so creative without ever needing like a lot of talent, I guess, because you can just say whatever the fuck you want. Like, I always had the most fun playing this game.
I do that every day.
Yeah, it's like what we're doing right now.
Exactly. But they have like all those games called like I Am a Tree, and you have to build the scene around the tree, and then you start to like say that like, oh, I'm an apple on the tree, and then you could say like, I'm a dog peeing on the tree or something. So it's like you get a lot of creativity in like trying to figure out what you could say that would make sense in the scene, but would be totally fucking ridiculous.
Like, and in that way, improv has a lot in common with role-playing games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Building the insane from...
I don't know about you, but when I play D&D, I try to think of the most ridiculous thing I can possibly do and try it.
Yeah, I mean, I am not involved in a D&D campaign, but I am involved in a Dungeon World campaign, which is like D&D light in a lot of ways.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, it's always fun to not really, like, while you're doing this world building and everything, just not have to take it too seriously. As in, like, oh, man, you're, this is damaging the integrity of our fantasy world. You can just be like, no, I'm just going to bring in this random thing from something because we want to. Like, my character wears a leather jacket and sings 80s songs and flies around on a keytar instead of a broomstick. So that's pretty chill. Like, it's just what you want to do. So yeah. Anyway.
That's almost like some Steven Universe type influence.
Conceivably. I don't think Steven Universe is super 80s, but perhaps I haven't seen the right episodes. No, you can
tell, like, the keytar and, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, but that is my long, rambly, somewhat summary of Hell of a Magic Tavern.
I might start listening. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much all the way caught up with Hell of a Magic Tavern. It's one of my favorite podcasts.
Yeah.
It's quality. Mm-hmm.
Combined.
With our topic and domain.
By the topic of Grayskull.
Yeah, that should have been proofread, Colin.
Seriously, hop off.
With all of our topic and domain summarized, let's move on to the discussion. I guess my first question is going to be for you, Pat. You seem to have kind of fallen from my trap, and I seem to have snared you into the huge time sink of Critical Role. I mean, we've touched on some of the reasons why you kind of like it, but I mean, in your own words, like, what seems to be the major factor for you in inspiring your want to pursue it further?
So, obviously, being someone who likes D&D and plays it, I'm very interested in the story that Matt Mercer has cooked up, which is honestly, like, very impressive story just in its complexity. I'm not sure if he based any of it on other campaigns or if it's all homebrewed or what, but it's just the creativity. And the fact that all of these people are actors and actresses, they get very into their characters. So during the big spoiler, obviously, when Percy is dead, they're, like, actually crying, and it makes you believe that they're all sad, and, like, it makes it even more insane when they get that nat 20 to bring him back to life. And, like, it's just, like, it gets you so more involved in the podcast when you have all these emotions flying around than if you're just listening to a bunch of people sitting around talking. So I think
they really play into it.
Yeah, exactly. They play into it. They're very creative with what they want to do, and they put the emotions and the acting effort in, and it's just all around a very well-produced podcast.
And I guess my next question is going to be for Jonavi. Mm-hmm. Are you a converted, or are you like, oh, that's nice, but I'm going to keep my distance? I mean, what's your, trying to get your temperature on
Critical Role specifically?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess Critical Role as, like, a piece of media is something that I had heard of before, because, I mean, I have never participated in a D&D campaign, but I know plenty of people who have, and it's a very popular, like, part, I think, of the D&D resurgence, for lack of a better word. So, I mean, I suppose I was just kind of always aware of it, but I always just sort of assumed, like, oh, well, I don't think I'm gonna be, like, I don't think I'm gonna have that level of investment as someone who's, like, not participating as much in D&D, and then seeing that, like, oh man, these episodes are really long, and now there's a lot of them. I don't know if this is, like, the piece of media for me. Yeah,
that kind of sucks.
Don't know if this is for me. There's a huge time investment.
So I was like, oh hey, great, this is great for a lot of people, but I don't know if I'm gonna like it that much. But I mean, from the clips that you compiled for us, like, I'm super into all of the super cool voice acting. I think that is one of the major things for me. I'm pretty, like, auditorially oriented. So if, like, something sounds good and is said with a lot of, like, good inflection, I'm pretty into it.
Sorry, you just got me with the voice acting. Had an idea. Mm-hmm. They should make their own, like, GPS voice navigation stuff where they're all giving me directions at the same time, and then they have to, like, fight it out to see who's right and shit. It would be hilarious.
You'd never get anywhere, though.
But it would be funny. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, you could do that to do some, like, stochastic tourism shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You could just be like, hey, AI based on all my favorite voice actors, like, tell me.
Yeah, you'd have, like,
tell me, like, where a cool place to go would be, and then it could be, like, you have all of your friends that you are their friend going along with them on this, like, adventure in a real life city.
This just plays back to me being lonely and wanting them to be my friends. I don't like this trope.
And honestly, Pat, I think that played a lot into what happened to me as well.
True.
But anyway, I guess I've been kind of skating around answering your question, I guess, but I suppose that I'm still not super duper into it. Mm. And the reason why is because, well, like, when I'm sitting down to, like, consume a piece of media and, like, be there for the story, I tend to have, like, less room for all of the like, fun little digressions and for the, like, bits of practicality of just, like, oh, hey, I'm going to have you roll for this or something like that.
What you need is, like, an abridged series.
I mean, I would be on board with the abridged series. But I suppose for me, it's like when I'm seeing a story in the form of a movie, say, and it's a really well-done movie and it's really, like, well put together, I know that every choice that's made has a point. But when you have something that is more of, like, a collaborative storytelling process, which is more kind of like, we're going to play a fun pretend game with some structures with our friends, the whole point of that experience is different. You know what I mean? It's not like... Yeah. It's not like a...
It's not a refined piece of...
Yeah, like, it's not a precisely packaged piece of, like, information. It's something else. But there is a lot of the plot element also to that. So I think for me, my brain gets a little overwhelmed trying to be like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this improv part. Or like, oh, I want to also know what the point of this story is. Or like, if there's a moral of the story or something. And there's just kind of too much stuff for me to keep track of and also consume in a passive way that you kind of need to do when you have such long episodes and like volume. So I think maybe my problem is that, like, I do have a little bit of a stick up my ass about stuff like this. Like, I will freely admit that. Like, I'm glad that it's there for people to enjoy, but I'm not so sure that this is the kind of thing that I would want to, like, consume passively. Because if I'm going to be on a campaign, then, like, great, I want to be on a campaign and participate in this, like, imaginative adult play. Like...
Yeah, it can be a little... I started watching Critical Role in a time, like, I played D&D when I was, like, super young, like, 7 or 8. Like, I think I was playing, like, second edition with, like, my brother and some people on the street. Or not, just, like, down the street.
Nice.
And that was right around the time when, like, the Satanic Panic happened. And, like,
ooh.
I remember as a young child being sat down by my mom and dad, be like, you are
too. Always sound like a disco band to me.
Yeah.
The Satanic Panic. The
Satanic Panic. But I remember, like, they sat my older brother, who was, like, 13 at the time, and they sat me down and be like, you guys are never to play this again. I will not have, you know, devil worshippers in my household, like, all this stuff. So I kind of, like, forgot about it. I forgot how fun it was. And then I played a little bit with a mutual friend of me and Pat's, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
We played some Adventure League together, got me into it. And then some random stuff happened with, like, getting to this place for Adventures League, and it kind of dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
And then just randomly, Critical Role, like, popped up on my YouTube feed, and I was like, whatever, I'll give it a try. It's 4 hours, but, like, I'll give it a 30-minute listen. And then before I knew it, like, 3 hours had passed. It was, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, oh, wow. Like, it kind of caught me, and I think it kind of caught on that part of me that wanted to play but couldn't.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, that's what catches me a little bit too, is like, my campaigns are not anywhere near this level of either fun or like depth. So that's what catches me, is like, I get to dive even further into D&D with them and not actually like make all of the choices and everything, but mm-hmm. I still get the experience of such a cool story, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's pretty emblematic of like D&D in general. It's so hard to get the perfect mix. You need the best DM or like the most like,
there's definitely an art to it.
Yeah.
There's an art to being a good character. There's an art to like making calls as a DM as to like, hey, when do I guide people further? They're doing a good job doing fun stuff on their own.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to take that ride with them. So like, I have a lot of respect for them for running just like such a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mad props.
Something you kind of look up to. It's like, it's what wanted me to become a DM and start playing more. Like, mm-hmm. seeing Matt do that and kind of create a story for people that everybody enjoyed.
Right.
And, you know, I get a lot of enjoyment, but you get mixed results. Like, not everybody on every single time you want to play is going to be like, fully there wanting to play.
Exactly.
It can be a little of a buzzkill when you get into a room and like all your friends are like on their phones not paying attention.
Exactly.
I feel that.
So I think it's a little bit of like wish fulfillment definitely to like watch the show in general. All right, let's maybe dig a little bit more into you guys' topics. So Hello from the Magic Tavern, you said that you've only just recently started watching, right?
Yes, or listening, I guess.
And I think previously you said that your major problem, or not your major problem, but one of the issues you have with Critical Role is kind of the undecidedness of it, the non-fixed kind of storytelling.
Sure.
Do you think that maybe because Hello from the Magic Tavern is only like usually like 40 minutes, it's just a little bit easier to take from them, or?
Yeah, so the reason why the same kind of like non-storiedness, or like not non-storiedness, but just like the less powerful of a narrative element in Hello from the Magic Tavern, I can be okay with. One, because as you mentioned, it is a bit shorter and more easily digestible for me when I'm just like walking home from work or whatever. And also because it's set itself up as kind of just a news thing. I'm just like, oh, let's just interview some people. And because that format doesn't have the conceit of like, oh, something has to happen exactly, I'm a lot more accepting of that. I feel more like, oh, this is just fantasy and also improv comedy. Like, it has a limited enough purview that I can loosen that stick that is perpetually at my ass.
It's basically what happens when you get like a significantly dumber like Ted Koppel and then you drop him in the middle of Narnia. You get sure. an interesting kind of interview experience.
Yeah, because 100%. Especially because like the character of Arnie Neekam is just like, how do you maintain your podcast voice when this traumatic thing has happened to you? Like, you're just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna totally. And then why would you only be doing it once a week? Why wouldn't you be broadcasting all the time to try and like get someone to maybe come help you? Like, I don't know. They're just enough breaks from how I feel like somebody would behave in that situation that I just find it like, it hits the sweet spot of surrealness for me. And then when you have the fucking wizard, like,
so do you hate Usador? I'll use his name. Usador, or do you like Usador?
Bro, you're not supposed to say his name. He's gonna show up now.
I'm not gonna say his whole name, so he won't come.
Usador.
He does have many secret names. He will not tell.
Yeah.
Lord Moldy Butt.
Usador, Mizador, we all doors up in here.
We all doors up in here.
No, but I do not think I could be his friend, but I enjoy him as a character very much.
I actually met him in person, him, Arnie Neekamp, and Chunt.
Oh, that's really cool. I feel like I could be Chunt's friend. Chunt seems to be the most manageable personality, if I'm speaking from like a functional perspective. But
maybe in the beginning.
Yeah, but you see, I am still at the beginning. I'm only about 12 episodes in, so this is just kind of my like intro into,
oh, yeah, exactly.
I guess, more fantasy kind of media, if I'm being honest.
There's also a lot less like crosstalk and table talk. Like, they are only being funny, yeah. Or they're only kind of communicating an idea. There's never like, oh, please roll for this and let's count up the numbers, which can definitely break.
It's a lot easier for me to, I guess, kind of like build this weird world of Foon in my head alongside them. So that's cool.
Now for Pat and Rooster Teeth, and more specifically the, how was it? Everybody's dead when they're dead?
Is that you're dead, you're dead. Yeah,
oh, Minecraft. You're dead, you're dead.
The way they did it, they stylized it YDYD so that if you pronounced it would sound like idiot, but I don't think it really came off.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of it. I think I got up right to the point where people started dying off.
Yeah.
I had to go sleepies. I agree with you on there's a lot of collaborative storytelling, but I was kind of more interested in the fact that they don't necessarily have like a fixed intent on story. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, they're playing just for entertainment, really. So whatever happens, happens.
Do you think they kind of go into it with that? Or do you think it's more of like the force of these people's personalities interacting with each other? It's just going to end up happening.
I think it's a little bit of both. So they obviously know that they're entertainers and that they need to provide content for people or else they're not going to like do a good job. But at the same time, they want to, they're mostly just friends hanging out, like trying to play games. For instance, there's this one episode of their like Let's Plays where they're playing Destiny 2 and they're trying to do the raid, which is like the hardest possible thing that you could do. And Ryan Haywood, who's like one of the more uptight members of Rooster Teeth, I'll say, is really focused on making entertaining content. So he doesn't want to sit around and listen to what he's supposed to do. He just wants to like do it and learn while they're doing it. And everybody else is just like, no, if we just take 10 minutes to explain it all out, it's going to go much smoother. And he's going to be like, nobody's going to want to watch that. And then everybody else is just like, we can edit the video, you fucking moron. And they start yelling at each other. And it just gets into this huge fight.
Fight.
But most of the time, they're just trying to have a good time, especially with their prank videos. Like, they have this one where they take Ryan Haywood's gamertag as BM Vagabond.
Bowel Movement Vagabond?
How many shows does Rooster Teeth have as, oh like, God, this production so group?
They
like,
have,
do you have a ballpark? Is it 20?
It's more than that.
It's Is it on the order of 100? Yeah, just I
will count rows and columns for you of all of their series.
Oh my goodness.
So it's 4 wide. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh my god.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40.
I think you've elaborated your point.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's probably more on the order of like 1,000.
Holy, so, what?
I guess they have been doing it for years.
Or not 1,000, like probably 200-ish.
De facto, my goodness.
They have acquired other ones. They have like Funhouse under them. They have Sugar Pine 7 under them. They have all like an anime series called Ruby. They have all their goofs and gaffs. They have their Let's Plays. They have all these Dungu. Other series. And it's really fun. But they take back the story I was getting at was they take Ryan's gamer tag and they change it to, they want to change it to Hey Would You Blow Me because his last name is Haywood and they can't get that to work. So they decide on to go with a random one, and the random one they give you is Give Me Your Milk.
Aww.
So
man,
they put
like
it there
a dairy focused highwayman. Yeah.
So it costs $10 to change your gamer tag on Xbox Live, which is kind of lame.
That's
crazy. They just don't want you going crazy and changing it all the time. It's a lot of effort. But Jeff puts in his credit card information so that Ryan doesn't have to pay for it. But then Jeff like gets cold feet. He doesn't want to change it. So Michael grabs the old gamer tag after they change it so that they can get it back. But they also bring the controller into Ryan as he's recording another episode of something else. And they say like, press A on your controller. And he's just like, okay. And he presses A and then it changes it. So then he comes back in and he like keeps getting notifications about all this other shit, and it's just like everybody on the subreddit, even like immediately someone posted something. So Ryan's new gamer tag is Give Me Your Milk, and everybody's just like, what the fuck does this mean? So it's like while they're trying to make entertaining content, I truly think they're just a group of friends hanging out, and that just they happen to all vibe together that makes creative things.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of into this like gamer also podcast reality TV thing.
Yeah. So they have a lot of people who aren't even necessarily gamers on Rooster Teeth's roster. So they have this one podcast that I listen to called Always Open, which is the brainchild of Barbara Dunkelman, who's been on for a while. She does a lot of voice acting for them. But she doesn't necessarily game all that often. Every time she's in a gaming episode, she's like very vocal about the fact that she sucks at video games, doesn't really play them, but it's still fun to like watch her play and do stuff.
Gotcha.
And this podcast is all about like relationships and life and like mental health and all this other stuff.
Like
and it's
always, many things, yes.
Yeah.
It's not just about gaming, it's about a lifestyle.
Yeah, so it's nice like it's called Always Open because they're like just open about all the things that are going on in their life. And then you have something like Sports Ball, which is just Tyler Coe and Mia Khalifa talking about sports the entire time.
Wait, Mia Khalifa as in that Mia Khalifa?
Yep, she retired and decided she wants to talk about sports. So
I have heard about that. I think she lives in D.C. now. I saw some story.
She lives somewhere around, yeah. Uh-huh. She's a big Washington sports fan.
You'll have to... Who is this person?
Mia Khalifa.
She's an ex-porn star.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I didn't realize Rooster Teeth had so many like tendrils, which... They kind of spread out.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Many, many, 400 Rooster Teeth.
Jesus. And that's series? That's in each one of those guys.
I lost track. There was like 50 times 4.
That's crazy. And that's not even total number of videos.
No, that's just all of the series. And then each of those has all of its videos.
God, they must make so much money.
Just a digitized life. Yeah.
Oh, and another... similarity. I keep forgetting. You know how Critical Role has they like animate certain scenes that are really funny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Rooster Teeth does the same thing. It's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I do like the animations. I think they paint kind of a... Because they also cut out a lot of the crosstalk, so you just get...
Exactly. Just you just get the highlights.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, I don't think we have any listener questions for today.
We do not have any listener questions.
Put anything. But if you want to have your own question or comment read on the show, we make weekly posts on Facebook and Twitter where you can comment or reply, and we'll be sure to talk about it. So if you guys listen to this and maybe have an idea for something that's coming down the pike, just let us know, and we will talk about it. Thank you for what I would call a titillating discussion. Now we can move on to the rating.
Were you just waiting this whole time just to say that word?
Well, once, like, yeah, I guess so.
Once Mia Khalifa came up, yeah, he was just exactly all aboard the titillating conversation train.
And now we move on to the rating section, and we begin by having each of our representatives rate the topic that I gave you guys. So I'm going to say 1 out of 5 grogs.
Grog!
I had trouble sleeping.
Come on, man.
Grogs.
So, you're killing me with this.
Grog.
So I really, really, really want to give it 5 grogs out of 5, but I need to save my 5 out of 5 for something that's like, there's no possible way it's ever going to get any better. So for Critical Role, I think I'm going to have to give it 4.5 grogs.
Huh. So like a grog and a gr.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Grog and a... Yeah, grog and gr.
He does have a very calming voice, though, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, he could lull me off to sleep so easy.
Yeah, don't have him in your, like, car GPS. You'll just fall asleep at the wheel. It'll
no,
be a
but
bad
then
time.
I'll have Scanlan trying to weave.
You need angry yeah. grog that's just screaming at you, yeah.
Can I share that, like, every time I read or heard Scanlan, I would either think it was Scranton or Scantron or another thing that it was not at all? That's just a failure of my reading
so
skills.
Good.
I can't read it.
Or you're just watching too much of The Office lately.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have not really been watching The Office lately, but maybe that's just because, like, Scranton was there first in my head.
Yeah, and Scantron, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, sorry to interrupt your rating. Continue.
No, my rating was done.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I gave it 4.5. I'm done.
All right. Good job.
Thank you. I'm
just gonna affirm your choices.
Thank you very much.
I don't know. What would I give it? How many grogs should I give Critical Role? I think I'm gonna give Critical Role a 4. 4 grogs.
It's solid.
Yeah.
It's solid.
4 grogs is solid. Because even though I don't think I'm super into it personally, I can see, like, all of the liveliness and the life that it seems to have, like, breathed into this whole, like, role-playing and culture. And I think that for the impact of that alone, it gets a lot of consideration. Also, I think that the voice acting is good. It is just a really well-run campaign. And just because it is a, I guess, like, not the entertainment that I want to consume passively, like, I still think that it's good and well done and stuff. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 4. For whole and discrete grogs.
I can appreciate that. I mean, it's not quite your taste, but you're appreciative of what it's putting out. That's how I feel about it. All right, next, I have to award a gold star student. Giving a reward to the person I think best really brought it this episode. Just really, really brought it. It was most titillating.
oh no.
And my reward, I think, it's not going to be a gold star. It's going to be a, what's something? What would be a good reward for a Critical Role?
This is a tough one.
So many things I can make reference to, but I don't even know. You guys haven't seen all the episodes.
Not yet, for sure.
A Golden Matt Mercer Award.
Ooh.
Oh, that's...
I would like my own little pocket Golden Matt Mercer. You could DM all my campaigns. It'd be great.
Just a little pocket Matt Mercer. Pocket, just be out there. Tell you did something wrong. I think you did the wrong ruling there, friend, and your story's becoming a little dry. He does not speak like that. I don't know why.
He probably could speak like that, obviously. If he wanted to. He's a very talented voice actor, yeah.
I don't know. This is a really tough one, because I think you both brought both things that I like, and both things I think you guys represented well. But at the end of the day, I think I might have to give it to Pat. He was very passionate about Rooster Teeth.
Good job,
extremely
Pat.
Extremely passionate.
Well, thank you very much for the award.
Yeah, you're not even, you're welcome. You earned it. But honestly, Jonathan, you earned it as well. Like, I think he just barely edged you out.
Well, that is, I will happily give a small Matt Mercer to Pat. I feel
as
though
he... I've just been on the podcast longer. I have more experience.
Oh, I'm a more experienced speaker.
Oh my God. I just know how the podcast works.
Yeah. I know more porn stars than you.
I mean, come on.
Adequate.
He knew it too. He didn't need me.
But anyway, yeah.
You just get all these ideas through osmosis. You don't even have to, like, do anything. It just comes to you.
It was fun to talk about Critical Role and stuff with y'all. I appreciated
this was a really good episode.
Being exposed to this stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely a huge fan of Critical Role and an even bigger fan of just D&D at large. Mm-hmm. And to be able to kind of share it and potentially convert someone, I think was very exciting.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I do think everyone should try like some kind of tabletop role-playing game at least once. Like
it doesn't
have to be your cup of tea, but I feel like everyone should be able to like try that as an experience to be like, hey, what's this new way I can like interact with people? And like, what is this?
Not everybody's cup of tea, but it, for the people that it is, like it becomes a big part of what they like want to do. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to the Common Geeking Program. I'm your host, Ryan Mossbarger, and you can find me at, I think it's Ryan_MOSS at Twitter. Again, you'll find many tweets about espionage with asses. And I'm joined by...
Patrick Brem. What's up? You can find me on Instagram at PattyIceOfficial, or... Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't want you following my other shit.
Leave me alone. I am Jonavi Iyer. I recently got a Twitter. We'll see how that goes. You can find me at JKIyer1 if you feel like seeing things that I want to talk about.
Numero uno.
De first.
De first.
De first.
JKIyer de first.
And next week, our episode will be hosted by our very own Pat.
Hell yeah!
And you're going to be going over a topic that I am super jealous that I'm not part of: Kingdom Hearts.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I give zero shits about Kingdom Hearts.
What? Oh, that makes me so angry.
They picked me because this is a versus episode, and they wanted an impartial judge.
So, what? What are they? Is it?
It's Kingdom Hearts 1 versus 2.
Oh, that's a weird one.
Yeah. Hmm. So I think...
My question would be, great video game or the greatest video game of all time? And they'd have to duke
for
it out.
For which one?
No, all of it. All of it. Just all of it.
Well, you'll be able to submit a question and... do so on our Facebook by commenting on the post. I mean, I don't know because I only played the first one kind of, so.
The only thing that I have that isn't even related, but I'm just going to talk about it now, is that in Indonesia, the like seat of emotion or whatever is supposed to be the liver. And I think it'd be really cool if instead of having Kingdom Hearts, you could have Kingdom Livers. Kingdom Liver. Or just other organs. Like, give other organs some love, okay? That's all I have to say about it.
Kingdom Hearts, all about that heart. Almost too much about that heart. People have too many hearts.
Yeah, well, so maybe throw some other organs in. Just have an organ palooza instead of, like, Disney fun times. I don't know.
It is very strange to explain, because you're like, so imagine a world. Have you ever played, like, Final Fantasy VII or, like, any of the other... Imagine there's, like, Final Fantasy, all those characters, and then, like...
With Disney characters.
And then imagine, like, Mickey Mouse is, like, a super hardcore boss. Like, he's Donald the king Duck's of everything. Donald Duck and Goofy are your best friends, and you go and fight something called the Heartless, which are like these things that don't have hearts because people are stealing hearts. It, like, you would be in a straitjacket being carted off somewhere if you started like talking like that on the street.
I get that it's very popular, but it's also very convoluted, and for me it seems like relatively rare that things that are exceedingly convoluted tend to be so popular. So I'll be looking forward to this debate. And you should too, listener dearest.
And I will hopefully form an opinion on it at the end.
Yeah, you can do it.
It should be interesting.
You can do it, Patty.
Come up with the opinion that neither. Wait for the third to come.
My favorite video game is Pac-Man.
And you can listen to this next Friday on August 24th.
You can do it.
And follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP, will enter you into a raffle where you can get to pick the next topic for a future episode. Or reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help in growing our show, and we'll read your new reviews on the air. Anyway, thanks for listening, subscribing, sharing everything, and I think we are going to talk to you, or at least some of us are going to talk to you, next week.
Goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Ryan Mossbarger. He was joined by Patrick Brem and Jonavi Iyer. This episode is sponsored by Knuckles the Echidna. He's the same voice actor as Grog, and that just gives me infinite pleasure when I think about it. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, featuring original music also by me. Fun fact, Hello from the Magic Tavern was represented by Eddie Ryan in episode 13, so if you want to hear a cast member do the full name of Usador, check out episode 13. I think you'll have a blast. But next week, we will be back with an episode about Kingdom Hearts deciding which is best. We hope you tune in then, and for now, thank you for listening to this.
Yeah, but there's a few things where it's like just Grog and mm-hmm. Matt. Like Grog at a certain point gets like this possessed sword mm-hmm. and his like the sword is way smarter than Grog is. So
amazing.
Like, so it's basically Grog trying to with the intelligence of a 5-year-old try to talk to a sword. So other people don't understand what's happening and he doesn't really fully understand what's happening. And then Matt has to play like this evil sword that is like stuck to this
dum-dum. That sounds like a complex allegory for a smartphone, man.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
I've met many people. I mean, I don't even want to count myself out of this where I'm just like, pretty sure your phone is smarter than you are. So...
I don't know. My phone decides to autocorrect a lot of things that I don't think it should autocorrect. But...
Exactly.
I mean, maybe your phone is just like an overeager primary school teacher, or it's just like, oh no, you have to say may I and whatnot.
I don't know how many primary school teachers want to autocorrect love to lube, but
I mean, I don't know. I hope not many.
I would hope not many as well.